Bam Betele e Golgotha. They crucified him at Golgotha from the Sacred Heart Melodies at Katlehong. Thank you. Yes, now, as you know, the church in South Africa, the Bishops' Conference is at SACBC. That is the South African Catholic Bishops' Conference. And we have, in the church in South Africa, we have 27 dioceses, and they are broken into five provinces. One of the provinces, of course, is Johannesburg. And in the province of Johannesburg, of course, you have Archbishop Tlhakane, and then you have Klerksdorp on one side, and you have Witbank and Swaziland, Kangwane on the other. Now, they compose a province of Gauteng. There's also a province in Tshwane, in Pretoria, and the diocese of that metropolitan province are the Rustenburg, Gaborone, Francistown, that is all Botswana, and also Tzaneen and Polokwane, and of course Pretoria itself. Now, we meet maybe twice a year as bishops, and sometimes with the major religious superiors, the sisters, the provincials of the sisters and brothers in the metropolitan province who are resident in that province. And so we met this week on Monday and Tuesday at the beautiful Kamboni Centre in Linwood Road in Pretoria. And we discussed a number of issues. So we spoke about the fact that next year we will be celebrating the bicentenary of the establishment, or at least the permanent establishment of the church and the structure of the church in Southern Africa. In Cape Town in 1818, that is 200 years ago, Pope Pius VII, then it was Pope Pius VII, he erected the Vicariate Apostolic of the Cape of Good Hope, and he said adjacent territories. In other words, all South Africa, Mauritius, and indeed Australia and Tasmania. Unbelievable. But the church was just beginning. Australia was only about 25, 30 years old then, and so very few people there, and among them quite a number of Catholics. The Vicariate Apostolic is a district before it is erected as a diocese. It's the beginnings of the establishment of a church. And so Pope Pius VII in 1818 erected the Vicariate Apostolic of the Cape of Good Hope. So we were talking about celebrating the 200 years of the church permanent presence in Southern Africa. The Vicar Apostolic then was appointed. He was a Benedictine, Bishop Bede Slater. He, however, lived in Mauritius, which had more Catholics than South Africa had at that time. And then a little later, in 1837, Pope Gregory the 16th in 1837, he sent the first, apostolic, vicar apostolic to be resident in South Africa. So this man, Bishop Patrick Raymond Griffith, a Dominican, Irish Dominican, was sent by Pope Gregory the 16th to reside at the Cape as the bishop of all South Africa and adjoining territories. We have his diaries today. He lived there. He established a school and convent, began to build the cathedral there, and also to reach the small number of Catholics spread in the hinterland of Cape Town. A little later in 1847, because it was impossible, you know, they had to travel by cart or horseback in those days, or perhaps by ship. It was impossible for him to cover the area he had been given. So in 1847, Pope Pius IX now erected the Vicariate of the Western District. that is the east, in other words, what was to become Port Elizabeth. So that was the beginning of the church. I mean, the history of the church in South Africa is very interesting, how the church slowly began to grow and enter into the country, come up to Kimberley, across. Eventually, it was forbidden in the Transvaal by the old Boer republics. But since they needed to trade with the Portuguese in Mozambique, and these were Catholics, they tolerated Catholic priests moving into to Kimberley and to Pretoria. And in 1887, from Pretoria, Pretoria started in 1877, and then 10 years later, 1887, Johannesburg, the gold was found in Johannesburg, and the little village became the wonderful city it is today. And of course, then the church spread to that area. So we'll come back to that, but in other words, we were discussing now how we should even think. We didn't make any great decisions, but next year we will have some celebration for the whole country for 200 years of the Catholic Church in Southern Africa. We also discussed a group called AGROP. An AGROP is a group that the bishops of South Africa have established. What is it? It is basically all priests, young priests, who have been ordained over the last 5 years, come together to discuss their experience of the priesthood. Because moving from a seminary, an academic study situation, moving into a parish, is a very, very great jump. It's a total new experience. And for some, it can be a great joy, and they take to it like a duck to water. Others find it difficult, and it all depends upon the community and depends upon the priest and even the bishop too, how they are received and how they are helped. So AGROP this year took place in Gaborone for our metropolitan area. 24 young priests attended, and they were very happy there. They said it needed more time, however, so we'll have to look at that for the next meeting. So it's a time for them to reflect together, and also with more experienced priests. Father Safiri was organising it with Father Saki Mufokeng and Father Clement Silime, Father Clement Senikani, priests who have quite a lot of experience in working in parishes and in the church, were with them for that week. We also discussed then, because we are very much with Bishop João from Sanin, we had to discuss the promotion of the cause of Benedict Daswa. You know that Father Saki Mofokeng is organising a men's retreat to go to the shrines of Benedict Daswa this month. So you Catholic men, it's a Catholic men's retreat. It's organised by the Laity Council, Father Saki Mofokeng at Kanya House in Pretoria. Get in contact with me. I think a great number of men will be present. And I hope this will really help people to know and appreciate the heroism and the holiness and the sacrifice of Benedict Daswa. Bishop Jha was telling us, you know, they have not yet acquired title deeds for the area where many of you will remember, you were there for the beatification when the cardinal came from Rome and Benedict Daswa was declared a martyr and a blessed of the church. And that site there will become a pilgrimage site. You know, in Gome, well, we hope to build up quite a big pilgrimage site also there for Benedict Daswa. The first plan would be to get the title deeds, then to build a welcome centre so that people can go there, they can be comfortable, and of course eventually to build a fine church and to remove to the church the remains and tomb of Benedict Daswa. We also discuss issues like language translations. You know, in our area we have quite a number of languages. Here in Johannesburg itself, you meet all the languages. So it's necessary to have the translations of all the texts that we use in our liturgy and our prayers in the church in these various languages. Bishop João, he's in Sanin, he would take responsibility with his people up there to have texts, books available in Chivenda. Bishop Masela, of course, would be responsible for languages in Northern Sotho, Sipedi. Bishop Sandry over in Witbank is an expert on Tsonga and Shangaan, and of course Tswana, which is also a large population group in our area. Bishop Gabuza is the chairperson of the translation committee, with Bishop Palana and Bishop Siani of Kavarone. We also spoke about stole fees. You know, those charges you receive, you know, when a priest attends a funeral or a marriage, when he does a retreat or preaches a workshop for you, blesses a tombstone and all that. There's often quite a bit of controversy about how much should be paid in these situations. Now, of course, we remember very well, you never buy a rite, you never buy a sacrament. That is totally unheard of. But at the same time, it is expected that the faithful do contribute to the support of that priest by making a contribution when certain ceremonies are performed. And so we do encourage you to pay stole fees. You know, so you see people spending huge amount of monies on funerals, huge amount of monies on marriages, and then they'll give the priest 20 or 30 rand. You know, this on one side. Now, on the other side too, we often, as bishops, we worry about priests who might be inclined to charge too much. You know, you hear of priests charging money for to visit someone in hospital, charging huge amounts of money to bless a funeral or something like that. Really and truly, as bishops, one is very, very worried about that. Priests must not really make too many demands upon the people. We appeal to priests and to people to speak among each other. But hopefully there should be a chart available about what you're expected to offer for stole fees in all these various occasions. We spoke about that. We also spoke about the youth and helping the youth to prepare for the mini world youth, and also getting the youth now to discuss the questions that come from the Vatican in preparation for the world meeting of bishops to deal with, you know, the state of youth in the church. Because youth often are, we fail them as church. You know, we don't think about them. We don't offer them opportunity. We don't offer them workshop. We don't offer them formation. And now, having lost most of our Catholic schools, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing for our young people that they know the faith, they practice the faith, and they love the faith? So we spoke quite a lot about that. And also I was trying to emphasize the importance of the Masoliniana, the little soldiers of Christ the King. Father Paul Tatu is very much involved with Masoliniana. Masoliniana, I think, comes from Lesotho, but we used to have it down in Cokstad. We had thousands of members, because young children also need to be bonded with the church. Now that we don't have Catholic schools, giving them a little uniform, a simple, doesn't cost very much, uniform, giving them prayers, giving a time of meeting, giving them a little work to do, giving them very good and holy adults to accompany them, to utilise the time of holidays, to give them their role in the liturgy and in the church. This is a very, very important work, because I really feel many, many vocations to the priesthood and religious life are touched, you know, or at least become, young people become aware of them between the ages of 11 and 14. Yes, that's the time when a child's his heart and soul is very pure and is open to beauty, is open to truth, is open to Jesus. And okay, they may forget that later, but often the memory of that, of the beauty and the joy and the peace they experience then, will come back as an echo to call them back to Christ later on. We spoke about also protocol issues, how to deal with accusations made against the church personnel, against priests and religious workers and teachers in Catholic schools and so on, how to proceed with these issues. you know, because the church is receiving quite a lot of unfavourable comment for situations that have arisen in other countries at the moment. And nobody has such protocol. By protocol, I mean methods of or procedures to deal with accusations of that. And we must follow them. We must protect our children. We must protect our people in the pews. And we must protect our priests also. You know, I know in one major city in the world, with one of the most famous newspapers in the world, you know, they'll go all over the country to find a Catholic priest who has done something wrong. And yet in their own city, there are 67 members of another faith who are accused and who have been found guilty of abuse, and they never mention any one of that 67, but they'll mention that Catholic priest from the other side of the country. So really and truly, we are being persecuted on this. But there is no excuse, of course, if priests fail in the responsibility to their parishioners and to children. And we must have a procedure to deal with situations like that. We spoke about that. We also spoke then with the major religious superiors who came together. They told us about the ABC group. The ABC, that is the Sisters of St. Angela, you know them very well in Gauteng. The Sisters of St. Bridget, you know them in Pretoria and in Rustenburg. And the Sisters of Calvary, A, B and C, Angela, Bridget and Calvary. The Sisters of Calvary are the great congregation of religious sisters in Botswana. And they have a group because by joining together, they're able to have joint reflections, deepening their own charisms and vocations, involved in formation work, able to do many things together, like youth retreats and so on. Sister Letta is the chairperson. Sister Josephine from Lesotho, Botswana, is the secretary. Now, these sisters spoke about a new kind of retreat or workshop. They called it generational dialogue. A generational dialogue. A generation, as you know, is, well, parents and children, or grandparents and their parents and children. That is a kind of a workshop, not so much where we bring people of one sodality together, or where we bring a group of men together. A generational dialogue is a retreat or a reflection where, for example, a mother and her daughter, or a mother and her son, or a father and his daughter, a father and his son, they would come, and a group of them, and they would have reflections together. Because today, and they're encouraged to, you know, slowly and gradually and sensitively to begin to talk to each other, to understand each other, to listen to each other, to know each other. Because often in modern life, with television and homes, there's very little time for people to interrelate. And we also spoke about vocations and the need for religious vocations. There's a great dearth, a great lack of religious vocations at the moment, especially to female religious in our country. So vocations come out of good families. Vocation come out of living parishes. So maybe our parishes are failing to be people to be places where young people are at home and where they rejoice with each other. We listen now to a song from Ireland, being celebrating St. Patrick tomorrow, called Our Lady of Knock. Knock is the place, as a place, and means in Tabeni, if you like. It's the place where Mary appeared in 1879 to 15 people. They saw her clearly, with St. John on one side and St. Joseph on the other, to console the people in a time of famine and great suffering in Ireland. Our Lady of Knock.